There was an alley beside the funeral parlor with a green painted bench placed against one side. At either end of the bench was a butt-studded bucket of sand. Diefenbaker sat beside one of the buckets, stuck a cigarette in his mouth. It was a Dunhill, Sully observed, pretty impressive, then offered the pack to Sully. No, I really quit. Excellent. Diefenbaker lit up with a Zippo. And Sully realized an odd thing. He had never seen anyone who had been in Vietnam light his cigarette with matches of those disposable butane lighters. Nam vets all seemed to carry Zippos. Of course, that couldn't really be true. Could it? You've still got quite a limp on you, Diefenbaker said. Yeah. On the whole, I'd call it an improvement. The last time I saw you, it was almost a lurch. Especially after you got a couple of drinks down the hatch. You still go to the reunions? They still have them, the picnics and shit? I think they still have them, but I haven't been in 3 years. Got too depressing. Yeah, the ones who don't have cancer are raving alcoholics, the ones who have managed to kick the booze around Prozac. You noticed? Fucking yeah, I noticed. I guess I'm not surprised. You were never the smartest guy in the world, Sully John, but you were a perceptive son of a bitch, even back then. Anyway, you nailed it. Booze, cancer, and depression, they're the main problems, it seems like. Oh, and teeth. I never met a Vietnam vet who wasn't having the veriest shit pull with his teeth, if he has any left, that is. What about you, Sully? How's the old toofers? Sully, who'd had six out since Vietnam, plus root canals almost beyond numbering, wiggled his hand from side to side in a come-see-come-saw gesture. And the other problem, Diefenbaker asked, how's that? Depends, Sully said.
On what?
On what I described as my problem. We were at three of those fucking reunion picnics together.
Four. There was also at least one I went to that you didn't.
The year after the one on the Jersey Shore, that was the one where Andy Hackermeyer said he was going to kill himself by jumping from the top of the Statue of Liberty. Did he ever do it? Diefenbaker dragged deeply on his cigarette and gave Sully what was still a lieutenant look. Even after all these years, he could muster that up. Sort of amazing.
If he'd done it, you would have read about it in the Post. Don't you read the Post?
Religiously.
Diefenbaker nodded. Vietnam vets all have trouble with their teeth, and they all read the Post. If they're in the Post's fallout area, that is.
What do you suppose they do if they're not? Listen to Paul Harvey, Sully said promptly, and Diefenbaker laughed. Sully was remembering Hack, who'd also been there the day of the helicopters and the Vill and the ambush. Blonde kid with an infectious laugh. Had a picture of his girlfriend laminated so it wouldn't rot in the damp and then wore it around his neck on a little silver chain. Hackermeyer had been right next to Sully when they came into the Vill and the shooting started, both of them watching, as the old mama-son came running out of her hooch with her hands raised, jabbering six licks to the dozen, jabbering at Malenfant and Clemson and Peasley and Mims and the other ones who were shooting the place up. Mims had put a round through a little boy's calf, maybe by accident. The boy was lying in the dirt outside one of the shitty little shacks, screaming. Old mama-son decided Malenfant was the one in charge. Why not? Malenfant was the one doing all the yelling and ran up to him, still waving her hands in the air. Sully could have told her. That was a bad mistake. Old Mr. Cardshark had had himself a morning and a half. They all had, but Sully never opened his mouth. He and Hack stood there watching as Malenfant raised the butt of his rifle and drove it down into her face, knocking her flat and stopping her jabber. Willie Sherman had been standing 20 yards or so away. Willie Sherman from the old hometown. One of the Catholic boys he and Bobby had been sort of scared of, and there was nothing readable on Willie's face.
Willie Baseball, some of his men called him, and always affectionately.